I see it as a kind of providential happenstance that we celebrate this weekend as the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity on the same weekend that we celebrate the Memorial Day holiday. I'd like to speak about the way in which those two realities kind of reflect on each other, speak to each other, because I think they are related. I don't think it's a coincidence necessarily that we have that this year. We have, of course, this celebration every year, which is the first Sunday after Pentecost. We always celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, where we learn again about God's revelation, the way that God decides to make himself known in our midst. And we know that he's done that throughout history, sometimes in some very huge, obvious ways. People as lucky as Moses and the Israelites got to see that firsthand. It was pretty terrifying at some points. And then after Moses, several thousand years later, we have Jesus who comes in the flesh. And several thousand years after that, we have our moment here on this Sunday in this church as we celebrate Holy Mass like we do every Sunday. And through all of human history, God is continuing to come near to us. And so this year, no different, God reveals, firstly in his Holy Scriptures, how he walks into especially the situation that the disciples must have been feeling in the gospel. I mean, why do we hear that gospel? Well, obviously we hear the gospel because Jesus names himself Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He gives the names of God. But he's also addressing a very real human reality that we deal with, but that especially on a holiday like Memorial Day this weekend, we come close to. Because in this moment at the end of the Gospels, I love St. Matthew. He's so honest. He says of the apostles that they're with Jesus, Jesus, the risen Lord at this point, the Lord who's now returning to heaven, and they go from Jerusalem all the way back north to Galilee, and they find the mountain in Galilee where they were supposed to meet Jesus, and they meet him here, and Jesus says, all right, see you later. And St. Matthew is clear that the disciples are actually not so very happy about that. St. Matthew says, when they all saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. They were dealing with a very common experience that we all have. And I think in this moment, they knew that something was going to change, and they knew that it was never going to be the same again. And we all ask that question of ourselves, of various situations where we kind of confront a circumstance in our life and we think, you know, is it ever going to be the same after this? And if we're honest with ourselves, we already know the answer to the question that we ask, which is no, it's not going to be the same after this. It's going to be different. It's never going to be like it was. I made this gospel a perfect gospel for this morning's Mass at 10 a.m. We had our graduation Mass. All of our graduates from St. John's, graduating high school this year, they were sitting up here. So I love it. I just talked about that the whole homily. I was like, you know what? You might be asking yourselves, is it ever going to be the same? And the simple answer is no. Never going to be the same again. And when we, as people, as individuals, as community, as families, as friends, when we encounter that question, is it ever going to be the same? No. That brings us, very honestly, a certain sense of trepidation, of fear, anxiety. It might bring us hope. It could bring us hope, you know, graduating high school, for example. You're hopeful for your future. You're also scared of your future. We celebrate this when we celebrate Memorial Day, where we bring to mind again, especially our loved ones who have passed on, in particular those who have served for us in the armed forces, such brave men and women, many of whom gave the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. And in any family who has ever gone through the death of a loved one or sat in a funeral, and that the human heart asks the question, is it going to be the same after this? And the answer is no. It's not going to be the same after this. It's going to look different, and that's a very hard reality to come to terms with. And if that brings us fear, well, I think that we're probably pretty ordinary people. I think we're a little bit like the apostles. I think we're probably a little bit like St. Paul, who spoke about the very thing in the second reading as he's writing to the Christian community in Rome, which at that time isn't having a great go of it. The Christians, especially in St. Paul's time, were persecuted quite horribly, regularly made martyrs. Life was not fun. It was continually changing, continually looking different, and they were wondering, where is the stability in all these things? Is there an answer? Is there peace? Will it ever be the same? And St. Paul addresses that very thing. And St. Paul says, when we accept the Spirit of God, when we become believers in Jesus Christ, God gives to us the very power to call God Father. He says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery that would cause you to fall back into fear, but you and I received a spirit of adoption, a spirit of adoption into a family, a relationship which is all-powerful, sovereign over all things. And this is a very fascinating response that God gives, a very fascinating way that God reveals himself to us throughout our lives. Because inevitably, when we come to situations that we have no control of or that we fear because they're unknown, and we say, okay, what do I do with my fear? What do I do with this sense that it's not going to be the same and I don't like it? The apostles evidently, right, feeling it in that very moment. Hey, Jesus, why don't you just stick around? No, I think I got to go. But God says, how is that fear answered? How do we address that? And we address that in the very way that God reveals himself, which is in relationships. Relationships. It's a very kind of an unexpected answer because, of course, when we enter into situations of fear or of anxiety or of the unknown, what we immediately like to do is to control it. We say, that's what's going to make me at peace again if I could just control it. But control, of course, is the way of the world. And the Lord knows that control is not actually what makes the world go round. Because whether we control or whether we don't control, that does not abide. It passes away. There is, in fact, one thing that remains. True relationship. That's the only thing that abides. It's the only thing that sticks around. And so when you and I are outside of a measure of control, or things are occurring before us that we didn't ask for, or situations, circumstances, people, relationships that we face that we otherwise would not have chosen for ourselves, maybe we don't want to, but we can't avoid it. And Jesus says, do you have fear? Thanks for your honesty. And let me just remind you, in that fear, by the way, all power in heaven and on earth is mine. All power is mine. Ain't nothing in your life or in my life that God doesn't have power over. And when God wants to give us victory in our powerlessness, God gives us relationship. He doesn't give us control. God gives us relationship. God gives us the revelation of his own very life, which is not some sort of solitary thing that pervades all, impersonal, no matter what. It's not like gravity. No, God is one who comes and gives us victory through love. A love which is always something that exists between one subject and another. And he says, you know, in the end, there are three relationships that abide. There are really only three relations that we have between each other and that we have to God, because there are only three ways that God relates to himself. God relates as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what does that tell us? It tells us that God comes to us first and foremost as Father, as provider, as one who protects, as one who nurtures. What does a good parent do? A good parent provides for their child in a way that the child would be utterly unable to take care of themselves. God completely does for us what we can't do for ourselves. That's an important relationship that we have that gives us peace when we don't have control. But God says, I don't stop there, because I'm not just Father, but I'm also Son. And Jesus, who comes into our midst, who came into the midst of the apostles and decided that what was most important for him to do with his apostles was basically to camp out for about 3 years with them. and just spend time together. Because she knows that his relationship, that of brotherhood, is a relationship that of communion that we share with each other that also helps us to hold each other up. We not only have relationships with those who come before us, who provide for us, we have relationships with our peers, our brothers and our sisters. Jesus himself says we are his brothers and his sisters if we believe in him, if we follow his will. Because in that relationship of our peer group, we have people to our left and to our right who do support our shoulders, who do lift us up, especially in times where we deal with fear. And God says, but I go even farther. Because I'm not just your father, I'm not just your brother, I'm also your exclusive partner. And so he reveals himself as Holy Spirit. That it's not simply a relationship of father and child, not simply a relationship of brother and sister, but it's also a relationship as of spouses, as if you and I were the only ones, and God shared every single thing with us, and us alone, and we shared every single thing with him, and him alone. And if any of us have ever had beautiful, life-giving relationships in those directions, we know how important they are. We know how important they are, especially when we're in a situation like the apostles were in. And apostles want to say, can it just be the same? And Jesus says, no, it can't. It can't be the same after this. It has to change. And the apostles say, well, we would rather stay here with you among us. And Jesus says, I must go. But don't fear, because I have all power. And I want you to share in that power. And we share in that power most personally, when we share an authentic relationship. Because that can abide whether we are in control or not. That can subsist whether we are in fear or not. That can remain whether we are together, whether we are apart. Even when we are parted by human death, can that remain? And so this is like a great Sunday of consolation, a great reminder that we have to recall the truths of faith that we know they're simply said, but they're very profoundly lived. They're very courageously lived. And we have to be reminded every year, in fact, perhaps every day, that we have relationships in our lives that are meaningful. Because those relationships are examples to us of the way that God blesses you, the way that God blesses me, the life of abundance that he wants to give to each one of us. And so we thank God. We thank God that even in our fear, we don't have to fall back into that slavery. That no matter in the midst of the unknown or not, we abide in a God who is provident and sovereign over all things and who gives himself to us as a father, as a brother, as a partner, that in every single way, not even one relation would be missing in our life. That nothing would be lacking to us, but that we would receive the fullness of our heart's desires.